Welcome to another City Coast Church podcast. For more information, please visit our website at www.citycoastchurch.com.au.
Welcome to Anointing Oil Sunday. I'm excited to be able to share with you this morning, and I believe God has given me a great word to share and to inspire and to stir you up even further this morning. Are you up for it? You ready for it? Let's get into it. You know, look, each of us have grown up, and some of us more so than others, but during the process of growing up, I'm sure there are opportunities and moments in your life where people around you were able to speak something over you. There were people in your world that could declare things over your life, whether intentional or unintentional, that will either lift you up or break you down. You've probably experienced this. And what has happened is in those situations when those words have come over us, we've either given it the opportunity to shape our identity or to break our identity. And I want to have a look at that this morning as I share a message called Anointed and Appointed. Sometimes these words that are spoken over us are to our advantage. Sometimes they're to our detriment. You might have had a teacher that spoke success over you and encouraged you to achieve, and in no small part is responsible for the success and the accomplishment that you've achieved today. Some of you might have had a mum that told you you're the most handsome boy in the world every day of the week, and she's in large part responsible for your confidence and probably partially to blame for your ego. Who knows? Who knows? Unfortunately, though, there are some of us who face words that people spoke over us, words that were of defeat. Some chose to belittle you and discourage you. And between those words and the situations and the circumstances you've navigated, you've come to a wall which you've been unable to break through. You've come to this part where, because of things that were declared over you, you're struggling to get to the other side, to where God is calling you. You see, today, as we come together for this Anointing Oil Sunday, I want to tell you that there is a voice that resounds far above all of those other voices that are in your world. There is a voice that echoes out and makes those words of discouragement and belittlement nothing more than a whisper. And it is the voice of the Almighty God. And it's a God who is calling you into a chosen generation. He has appointed you. He has called you for more than you could ever imagine. And today, as we bring the oil, we want to take the opportunity to seal that appointment that God has placed over your life. We want to reveal what He has called us to do. And as we make an inward decision to step into that calling, we're going to mark it with an outward action, which is the anointing of oil this morning. Does that sound okay? You see, this anointing of oil is a practice that you see through the Bible, and there are three. This anointing of oils, you see it with three specific appointments of office within the Bible. If you were stepping into the role of the king, anointed with oil. Stepping into the role of priest, anointed with oil. Stepping into the office of the prophet, anointed with oil. And when we talk about those positions, we might be sitting there going, what has that got to do with me? Then funny you should ask that. Turn to 1 Peter 2 verse 9, because the word of God says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people that may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. I tell you today, you have been called and you have been appointed to a position of royalty, to a position of priesthood, to be a mouthpiece, a voice to share the truths of God and the good news of the gospel amongst the world around us. You've been called, you've been appointed, and today we want to make sure each of you are anointed. It's exciting, right? Look, some of us might sit there and think, why has God chosen me? Who am I that he would appoint me to such a position? Does he not understand the things that I've gone through, where I've come from, who I've been, what I've done, what I've said? Does he not understand who I am? And the incredible thing about being chosen by God is it's not based on who we are. It's a calling that goes out because of who he is. You see, we aren't saved by anything that we've accomplished out of our own strength. There's nothing we've managed to do in our own selves that has secured us to salvation. It says it's by the grace of God alone, so that we can't boast of ourselves in that. That we know that we're in this position, that we've been called, that we've been appointed, that we've been chosen as a chosen generation, not because of who I am, but because of who he is. That he saw us broken in the dust. He saw us fallen. He saw us stuck in the mire. And he sent his son to give his life as a sacrifice to ensure we could be lifted from where we were to where he intended us to be. That's each and every one of you today. No one is excluded from this grace that God so freely pours out. If you go into verse 10, 1 Peter 2, verse 10, it says, we were once not a people, but now we are people of God. We had once not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. It's all because of who God is that we can be called and appointed into this position, this chosen generation, this royal priesthood, this holy nation. So whether you were the last kid picked for the footy team, or you're the class president for 6 years in a row, whether you drive a Mercedes or a Mini Moke, whether you were Miss Popular or the kid that got dragged to the school counselor's office so she could demonstrate how to use deodorant, it doesn't matter. That sounded very specific, didn't it? Yeah, that might have happened to someone up here on this stage. But look, no matter how your life might have panned out, no matter what growing up looked like, no matter what people were speaking over you, declaring to you, and positioning you for, God isn't looking at any of that. You see, God doesn't look at our stature, our outer appearance, or our popularity. When he calls you and he appoints you, the first thing he looks at is your heart. You see, he wants to see a heart that can be molded. He wants to see a heart that he can shape. He wants to see a heart that he can put in rhythm with his own. He wants us to have a heart after him. In 1 Samuel 16, we see the prophet Samuel has been called to the house of Jesse. You see, God has told him that the future king of Israel is going to be found amongst the sons of Jesse's household. So Samuel heads along to Jesse's place and he informs him that one of his sons is to be anointed king. And this is the moment where a parent's favoritism comes to the front. I know we say we don't have favorites, but in this moment, when Samuel says there's a king amongst your sons, Jesse's favoritism kicks in and he goes, well, if you're looking for a king amongst my sons, you must be thinking of Eliab, right? So he brings Eliab out, number one, parades him, he's muscular, he's finishing off a protein shake, he can do that dance thing with his pectoral muscles. He's like, surely Eliab is the king that Samuel is looking for. And the funny thing is, it didn't matter who Samuel was looking for, because God says this in 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see him as a man sees, for the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Who of you out there who have siblings, if a prophet rocked up on the front door and said, yes, there's a king in your household, if you've got siblings, pop your hand up if you think mum and dad would have put you forward first. Come on. Where are all our Eliabs at? Yeah, Max, of course. Yeah. Fantastic. Look, it says in Acts 13:22, it's speaking about the moment where God's favor was taken from Saul, and Saul lost God's approval to be king. And it says this, that, and when God had removed him, he raised them up David as king, to to whom he had given the testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. That is what God is looking for. A heart that can be shaped like God's heart, and a heart that is obedient and ready to go when God calls us to go. You see, God isn't looking for the quarterback or the beauty queen. He's looking for men and women who will position their heart in a place to be used. But he's also looking for people who will hear the voice of God, who will know the voice of God, and will follow the voice of God. This is another thing he is looking for. Will we position ourselves in a place of prayer, and will we allow our ears to be inclined to hear God when he speaks? Can we position ourselves in that place? Now, this has never happened to me, but have you ever had your wife speaking to you and had to ask her to repeat something, even though she was only 2 foot away and clearly speaking directly to you? Have you ever found yourself in that situation? She was looking you eye to eye, you still missed what she said. This has never happened to me, but I have read that wives don't appreciate that. It can make them upset, but it turns out just because men have ears, it doesn't mean they're engaged. Sometimes men's ears can be a little ornamental, but what the difference is, we need to make sure that we've cleared our mind of distraction, we've locked in our focus, our ear is engaged, and we're wanting to hear exactly what our wife is trying to say. And why do we do that? Because we value every word that comes from her lips. We are eager to jump into action at what chore she has to roll off her tongue. We are ready to do. We are ready to obey. No. We do it because the word she says is something that's valuable to us. And we need to be like that with God. We need to make sure that we've cleared our heart and our mind of distractions, and our ear is inclined, and it's inclined for a purpose. It's inclined because we are intentional in hearing what he says and then following what he says. It's about having that ear specifically inclined towards him. We need to be ready with all the external distractions shut out, inclined so we can hear even if it's the slightest of whispers, yeah? In fact, Samuel, the man that anointed David to be king, has a story very much like this. As a young boy, he was a miracle baby, and that miracle baby was dedicated to serve in the temple of God. And one night, as a young fella, he hears his name called out from the dark. And he runs around to his boss, Eli, and he goes, did you call me? Did you call me? He says, like, no, go back to bed. And this happens a couple of times. And eventually Eli says, go back to bed. Next time you hear it, this is what you say. And you look in 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. Now the Lord came and stood, and he called as he did at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And this is the response of Samuel, and the response I encourage that you have this morning. He says, speak, for your servant hears. Make that decision today that when God is speaking, that we are ready to hear. And when we are ready to hear, we're ready to follow that truth that he has directed us in. You see, God is calling us, and he wants people who hear. Will we desperately pursue those times of devotion where we become familiar with the voice of God so that when we hear it, we know it? And when we know it, we identify it as truth. And because we know it as truth, when we hear that call, we know that we are going to follow it without hesitation. Now, for some of us today, you may never have known that God had chosen you. You probably spent a lifetime feeling alone and not knowing that you belong. But there is a God here, a loving Father. And he is saying, I have chosen you. He is saying, come to me, I have a place for you, and I have a purpose for you. If I can invite the band up, the worship team, the band. You see, it says in Romans 10, verses 9 to 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. And for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, today, when we take this oil, we're taking an opportunity to anoint those of us who have made the decision to step into that calling and that appointment that has gone out from God. And the first step of receiving this calling, of taking hold of this appointment, is finding salvation in Him. So this morning, by making this confession today that Jesus is Lord, you are saved and you step into the ranks of that chosen generation. You've been called to a position of great importance, and today we are excited to anoint you with oil and to seal that decision to step into that calling today. So get excited. You see, this place, this building, the church is not a place we attend. The church is who we are. And by making that decision today, you say, I'm stepping into that chosen generation. I'm stepping in to be a part of that royal priesthood. I will be a voice that sings His praises in amongst the world from which I was rescued. So today, can I just encourage you all to close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment. Before we get our team up and move forward with the anointing of oil today, I want to give you a chance to step into this position and this calling today. If today you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, or maybe once you did, but you've turned and you've walked away, I want to give you a chance to step in amongst the ranks of your brothers and sisters that are here beside you today. So while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, if that is you today, I just ask you to pop your hand up in the air so that I can see who I'm praying with today. I see that hand and the hand. Brave little hand up the back as well. I see those two hands up the back there as well. There is a position and there is a place in the family of a loving Father who is calling you today. Is there anybody else? Your heart might be racing. I see that hand up the front there as well. I feel like there's one more. You're worried because you think I'm speaking about you directly. I probably, where are you? Your heart's racing. I think that's me. Oh, should I put my hand up? Where is it? Is there someone else there this morning? Okay, fantastic. Hey guys, lifting your hand was a brave step and it's the start of an incredible journey. And I just would ask if you would say this prayer with us just in your seat where you're at, and the whole church family is going to say it alongside you this morning. Lord Jesus, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you gave your life so that I could live. Please forgive me of my sins and set me on the path you've called me for. I give you my life. Come into my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, come on, let's put our hands together for those brave people this morning. Hey, this decision you have made is an exceptional one, and the journey ahead of you is going to blow your mind. And the good thing about this journey is it's not a journey you do alone. There is a family here that are ready to embrace you and to get around you and to encourage you onward. When you're feeling weary, we're going to be lifting up your arms. When you feel like you can't go any further, we're going to cheer you on. That is what a church family is all about. So I want to encourage you, keep coming to church. This is a place where you can be encouraged and uplifted. And hey, get into the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, or even if you do, go visit the Hub. They've got a little gift for you. They're going to put a Bible in your hand, maybe a few other goodies, but we want to see who you are, where you're at, get you connected and engaged in. So visiting the Hub is a fantastic step you can do there as well. If you want to get connected in other ways, you got that QR code. But make sure you don't leave this morning without connecting someone and let them know the decision you've made. Pastor John, Pastor Charmaine are going to be by the Hub at the end of the service today, and they'd love to connect with you and talk about the decision you've made. So head up the back after the service, after the anointing. That would be fantastic. Hey, who's ready for some anointing oil this morning. I'm going to invite my beautiful wife, Pastor Joey, and eldership up, if Pastor Hugh, Pastor John, Pastor Charmaine, and Pastor Jeanette, Pastor Ken, and Charlene, if you'd like to join us up on the stage as well. What we'll do, we'll ask each of you to stand up. If this morning you choose to not partake in the anointing of the oil, just simply remain in your seat. That's absolutely fine. But if we could ask everybody else to stand up, and we'll come through and we'll anoint each of you individually. And like I said earlier, this is a symbol. What we're walking around with is not a magic potion, but it is a gesture, an outward gesture to indicate and seal an inward decision. This morning when you say, hey, I'm going to run this race, I'm going to step into that calling that God has for my life, and we're going to seal that, and we're going to anoint you with that promise today as well. But the other thing is, the Bible talks about the power of anointing the sick with oil as well. So when we come around, if you have sickness in your body or in your mind or emotion, just let the person praying for you know that you'd also like a prayer for healing as well. So while we are anointing with oil, we can pray for healing at the same time as well. Does that sound good? So feel no pressure to stand this morning, but if you choose to not partake in the anointing, just stay in your seat. That would be fine. Pastor Joey.
So we're just going to anoint the eldership, and then they're going to come amongst you and pray. And we're just going to continue to worship. So feel free just to continue to worship. I did have on my heart a word from this morning. As I felt for those who have had a hard 2023 and you feel like you have been in the fiery furnace, I feel the Lord wants to encourage you that as you walk into 2024, your clothes do not need to smell like smoke. It does not need to carry into the threshold of the new year. That we come before Christ and we say, hey, we believe that you can transform, that there are miracles in my life, that you are the God of possible and breakthrough. And so the things that you have faced and battled, as you get anointed this morning, allow the power of God to come in you and come out through you, that the clothes that you feel have smoke and have residue from that broken year that you may have felt you walk, that you rip off those garments in the Spirit today and allow God to turn the page on your season into your future. Amen? Amen. We're just going to continue to worship, and then we're going to come through.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. The Lord is in this place. Come rest on us.
Hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. I just feel there is a presence of God on marriages in this room right now who are circling around the same prayer point for a number of years. So as a marriage, you've been praying together for something significant, and you've been circling that for years. But I just feel in the Spirit, God wants to minister to you to keep believing today. And I want to invite you forward in this moment. We don't know what it is. I'm not even going to ask you. You know what? I'm not even going to lay hands on you. But I want it as an act of obedience. I feel the Lord wants you to remind you that when you step forward in faith, it's not by sight, because right now you're still circling your miracle, right? And so many times do we see we quit before the breakthrough. And I want to encourage you, and I want to invite you. Would you just come out to the altar right now? As a declaration, I want you to grab your partner. Come on out to the altar and be stand strong and say, it's not by sight, it's by faith that God is going to do a miracle in your families this year, or whatever it is, in the name of Jesus. If that's you and you're circling a miracle, come and receive today. This is an act, and not by sight, but by faith, I believe. I can keep praying. We can do this again. If your partner's not even here, but you know you've been praying together, come forward. Come on. God of miracles. God of miracle. God, we call down your favor, your grace, your mercy in the name of Jesus. God, you know these hearts' desires right now, Jesus. You know the secret place prayers in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you are gracious and you are kind and you will never forsake us. And so right now, Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you would come and do something different this year, that you would bring a shift in relationships, or you would bring a shift in provision. You would do a shift in people's hearts, God. Whatever it is, Lord, I ask for your anointing right now, Jesus, to come into these families. I believe for a miracle that this be a significant moment right now, Jesus, of provision, of your grace, your hand in the name of Jesus. Let them believe that they can go again by faith. Believe again. By faith, believe again. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We're hungry for more. I want to pray for business owners in this room right now. If you own a business, would you just put your hands up? Yeah, we've got a few business owners. Father, I just feel to pray right now, God. Lord, as these business owners, God, they put their hand to the plow every day, Father. Lord, that you've given them that vision, Father, that calling on their life, Jesus, to open and pioneer and birth, Father. Lord, that this year, God, as they press into you, Lord, as they are faithful, as they are faithful with their giving, as they are faithful with their devotion and their discipline, Lord, as they come under you, Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you know that. And so the goodness of God is going to be poured into these marketplace ministries in the name of Jesus. I speak provision. I speak multiplication. I speak more staff. I speak more income. I speak more sales in the name of Jesus. I speak more, Lord, because you are a God of abundance. I don't know you as a God who has a shortfall. I know you are a God of abundance. And so I speak into these businesses right now that you would have your way, Lord, where they are praying and believing, that you would have their way in the name of Jesus. Blessings on their businesses in the name of Jesus right now. Amen. The church said amen. We can believe. We can believe. Where's my husband? Anyone? There he is. Oh my gosh. Would you be upstanding? We'll just bless you all before we leave today. Come on, lift your hands across this place. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you are such a good God. You are such a kind Father. And today, Jesus, we position our hearts. That's why we're in this room, out of obedience and faithfulness to you. And so we thank you in advance for what you're going to do in these lives in this room this year, Lord. We thank you in advance that in 12 months' time, we will stand and testify of your faithfulness in our lives. I thank you for abundance of blessing and protection over every life. I thank you, Lord, for this house. I want to pray right now for this house. I thank you for City Coast Church, Lord, that it would be a light, and it's light on the city of the hill, Lord, right now in Bundaberg, Father. I believe this time next year, Father, we will not have enough seats in this house because of the salvation and the miracles we have seen in our city, Lord. So I thank you for the anointing and the power of God on this church, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your power. We love you. We bless your name. In Jesus' mighty name, the church said, amen. We could run a marathon right now. We feel pumped. So good.
Well, thanks, church. Why don't we go out into this week? Remember to keep your hearts malleable, your ear inclined, and be prepared for God to use you in a miraculous way. Sound good? All right, let's go out partying, celebrating the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's have a praise party, guys.
Let's play the for the things he did this morning and the things he's gonna do. Come join me. We praise you now. I praise cause you're sovereign. Praise cause you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you. I sing I praise cause you're sovereign. Praise cause you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I praise cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. In the room, believe this church. Otherwise, we will see you in the room next week.
Just quickly, everybody.